this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pup if you don't control the pup. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris, wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 32 of Three in the Box. Woo! Making my triumphant return right now to the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is the Meat Beast. I've been gone for some time. It is very good to be back, and I'd love to introduce you to my right, of course, Aaron.
Yo, we haven't seen you since last year, man.
Yeah, it's been over a month.
It's been a year.
It's been a month. Good God, just because the calendar changed. And, of course, we also... did you want to say hi to the class listening at home?
What up?
All right. Across from me, looking more and more like an elderly Eddie Van Halen every day, we've got Kenny.
What up? Hey, so how was around the world in 80 days?
It only took 20, but... You want to say you're already good with your hello for the evening?
I'm good.
Good. Lovely. And behind me, of course, we've got Dustin Buffalo. I mean, Jive Midnight, man in the controls.
All right. Good evening from the boards, folks.
Welcome back. Tonight, we have some fun for you. Of course, we're going to recap the Wild Week and the Gophers. We'll touch briefly on random stuff that happened in Minnesota hockey overall. Of course, with how the Wild are standing in 2014. Prosser's Hockey Day Minnesota Kingdom that he created. Yo, getting a penalty, making Niederreiter feel the shame, a la Slapshot. And, of course, the injuries, AHL Goalies United, and the bad calls that the Zebras made to make sure they were playing for any team but the Wild.
So, yeah, Wild recap for the week. I think Mr. Midnight's feeling like it's midnight over there. Falling asleep at the controls already? You don't have a mic in front of you, so you don't pay attention?
He's got a mic right there. That was a real smooth transition.
The guy just turns around, he's like, just giving Kenny dirty looks. Oh, dude. That's all it. That's
you
all
couldn't it hit is. Your own key with the new app you got on your phone, right? Okay.
You got fingers.
That transaction was so smooth, I thought we were in Sochi.
That's what she said.
That was a transaction? I thought it was a transition.
So anyways, the Wild Week. Wild took 2 out of 3 of the games that we since last Wednesday. A nice win against Edmonton at home. Hockey Day Minnesota win. And somebody did hit mute. And then a terrible loss last night to Dallas.
Ugh.
Getting shut out 4-0.
That's so fairly ugly.
And despite the one loss in the last week here, you know, the Wild have been spectacular actually so far in 2014. They're 7-3. They've really actually been kind of lights out. You know, they've done all of this without Harding, without Koivu, without Spurgeon, without Parisi, and for the most part without Backstrom. Do we think, is this a fluke? Is the 7-3 without all those guys, is that a fluke? Can they continue to win without their top skaters and effectively the top goalies?
Well, I think if Yoke gets the right line combinations together, you're going to have chemistry. Thursday night against Edmonton, man, holy cow, there was just some amazing, amazing chemistry between all the lines.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
And they're all flowing.
It's also Edmonton, though. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, this is true.
When was the last time they were relevant? I think Gretzky was skating for them. On top of that, you've also got the fact that there is a bit more depth than we've had in previous seasons. Koivu being out, some people would argue that he should be relegated to centering the third line now with the other people we have in place and bringing more talent in.
Well, sure, but
to put him because they equivalent his talent there. That's not going to happen this year, and that's right. Not going to happen anytime soon. I really don't see that happening, but I've heard mumblings of that from other people. Can we blame it on Yo, or is it really the fact that the guys are just skating that well together? The money's been spent on better players, and the youth is developing better.
Well, we've got 2-3 weeks until the Olympic break. We probably won't have Koivu before the end of the break, right?
Probably not. He's expected to play in the Olympics. You know, there was talk of him maybe making it back before the Olympic break, but with something like that, I don't know if I'd want to rush it.
Right. We might get Harding or Backstrom back. We should hopefully have Parisi back. We don't. We haven't heard boo on Spurgeon. I mean, are they going to be able to handle the next week and a half, 2.5 weeks? Before the Olympic break.
Well, they got a tough schedule coming up.
2 weeks in one game.
A lot of flying going on. I think one home game, and then there's a decent road stint.
It's a
tough schedule coming up, too. It's nothing easy. We'll see how well.
It's a four-game road trip after this one home game, and then they come back home for two.
I'm not going to hold my breath that the next couple of weeks leading up to the Olympics, that they're going to be in a winning record over the next, seven games, eight games, whatever.
Right. And really, I think the level of competition they're going to be facing, I mean, tomorrow night you get the Blackhawks.
There's a West Coast road trip happening.
We got Anaheim. Who just finally lost their first home game out of 22
straight
home games.
Home wins.
Yeah.
On their home ice.
On their home ice. So, I mean, while they're going in, without Mikko,
So you don't have the Mikko Saku face-off challenge that you always drink.
I suppose on the upside, we wanted to hear Greenlay and LaPanta talk about Mikko and Saku, incessantly.
Yeah, and how they grew up. Did you say incestuously?
That's what I was going to ask. Incestuously or incestuously?
Not to imply there's any incest going on there.
Yeah, but I mean, you got Sharks, you got Avalanche, Flames. Flames should be not too bad. And then Predators and Lightning. I mean,
yeah,
it's not looking like an easy schedule. It really depends on how healthy the Lightning are, and also the Predators. Predators is a home game this time, though, or is it in a way? I can't remember.
It's a home game.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually
so we should be all right then.
Birthday
last game before the Olympic break.
I actually think that will do better for the Wild that it's a home game because just the goalie record alone.
Well, the Predators are hurting because they don't have a real Rene's out, so
yeah,
they're hurting in the net. So
kind of like we are.
If Rene was back though, his record away is not good. It's about a third of what his record at home is. His record at home is stellar.
Well, at least we won't have to hear on the TV everyone booing Suter every time he touches the puck.
This is true.
Then there's that.
Well, a couple of highlights though from Wild Week. The Wild past week is a Hockey Day Minnesota. Some nice Minnesota connections. Eric Halla, former Gopher, Shattuck St. Mary, netted his first NHL goal.
Yeah,
which is pretty impressive. It's a nice goal too.
He's had a few assists, but it was nice to see him finally get a goal. And then, additionally, speaking of Hockey Day Minnesota, Nate Prosser gets the game winner on Hockey Day Minnesota
in overtime.
In overtime.
And he's from Elk River, where Hockey Day Minnesota was happening.
Yes.
So, with his home school hosting this year.
Right.
Oh, nerd!
And even better, though, I mean, that made, with that and the Edmonton game, that made two games in a row he had the game-winning goal in. His first two goals of the season. But it also makes it so that he's in a position where he's got two goals. That's more goals than Spurgeon, Ballard, and Stoner combined.
That's pretty impressive.
That actually kind of blows my mind because considering how much ice time, I mean, Spurgeon gets a lot of assists, so I mean he'll fire it off.
He's a playmaker.
He'll fire it off and someone else will deflect it, and we get a goal. So I'm not gonna, down on Spurgeon in that, but Ballard and Stoner, So the bigger question is when Spurgeon actually comes back, what happens with Prosser? Because Prosser's been the one that's been bouncing up and down, getting scratched sometimes in lieu of Ballard, sometimes in lieu of Stoner.
He's been filling in for everybody that's been out.
Hasn't
he already exceeded the amount of games where we had to have him in?
Prosser?
Yeah.
Well, he's
on a two-way contract.
So he can go up and down as much as he wants.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
Honestly, I think if he keeps playing like he is, there's no way Yo's going to be able to bench him or scratch him or send him down. Why would you do that to a guy who's on a hot streak?
Right. No, and honestly, if you look at his plus-minus over, the last seven games, he's well into the positive. I think, he's a plus six over the last like seven games or so.
I mean, I would be more apt to, you know, scratch Stoner or send Stoner down because he's been making.
Stoner hasn't been that bad. I think Ballard has actually been the one who's really kind of struggled.
Well, Ballard's been really injury plagued this year.
He's been hurt. And
it's like right as he starts to find his stride is when he gets re-injured.
Well, and not only that, but Ballard is really, you know, he's looked at as a more of a scoring defenseman, and he doesn't score.
Does that have to deal with his injury, though? I mean, he might be coming back.
Stay healthy.
He might be coming back not 100% and not playing up to his potential.
Exactly. That was entirely what I wanted to bring up on it, because he's not getting the chance to condition back up to 100% by the time he's hitting the ice.
Oh, that's fair. I mean,
and then he's going back out.
But isn't it then on Yo?
You reckon?
To actually say, hey, you need to sit out and, you know, rest your legs and that sort of thing.
It should be the coach's job.
Or
Or defensive coordinator.
I think Jai makes a good point. I mean, at what point does the player take responsibility for his own injury? And
yeah,
you know,
and the player
you're not
going
to let a hockey player. You're going to have to tell him he can't play. Otherwise, he's going to play it whether he's injured or not.
Yeah, and
really, that goes to all sports. I mean, you see pitchers throwing and their arm is blown out, they're still throwing it. They're trying.
Almost all sports. Basketball, they jam their finger and they're on like a IR for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much. But at that point, then it's on Yo. I mean, Yo's got to say, hey, you're not performing well. Grab some popcorn. Watch us play.
Or Darby or any of the other assistant coaches.
Right. Absolutely. So someone's got to stand up and say, hey, something's not working right now.
Sit down and finish. Yeah. Finish healing. And, of course, speaking of Yo finally stood up to the refs for his boys with some of the shenanigans that were going on in Dallas.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
Yeah, finally. And actually caused a penalty. And Nito Niederreiter had to go sit and feel shame in the box for 2 minutes. And, yeah, because Yo finally stood up. Is that too much, too little, too late? Because he finally was doing what he should have been doing to begin with, but went too far?
You know, yesterday's game was just a mess. I mean, it's easy, I think, to pin a lot of the blame on the refereeing. Because the reffing wasn't good. But at the same point, it was a lot of stupid penalties the whole game.
Let's see, a bench penalty followed up by our goalie throwing his stick at the puck while it's in motion. Yeah,
I would love to blame the refs for causing the loss, I have a tough time putting a lot of blame on them just because of how poorly the Wild played yesterday.
True. One of our listeners and fans on Facebook actually made a point of saying, one of our high school teams could beat the Wild tonight on our page.
Well, you know, effectively, we had an AHL team.
And they were underperforming our high school teams.
Captained by Mr. Ryan Suter and Mr. Danny Heatley.
you know, things are bad when Heatley is basically your de facto captain.
And your bobblehead for the night.
And your bobblehead for the night.
That was a few days earlier that he was the bobblehead for the night.
That's still in this week.
It's still within this week, yes.
And he was still captain.
Different game that we're talking about.
He's always a bobblehead, though, really, right?
Well, when he's not laying on the ice.
Now, was that too much, too little, too late? Or him just trying? Was Yo trying to make sure he didn't get fired for a stunning loss?
I mean, we got to think at this point. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, go ahead and you finish.
Okay. I mean, we got to think at this point, Yo, this is a do-or-die season for Yo.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's gone deep in the playoffs. He needs to do something.
And he's already had meetings scheduled for immediately after the game and after the press conference where you knew if he lost, he was gone.
Yeah.
Well, you got Nanny tweeting don't expect Yo to make the road trip.
No, we had kind of touched on that last week, too.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same point, at what point is Yo's job safe? Yeah. I think maybe that's the biggest question, is at what point is
that Yo's, is a better question.
I don't think his job's not guaranteed from now until, well, from basically now on, unless he brings in a Stanley Cup
He's got to start producing. He's got to go deep in the playoffs.
His job is not guaranteed.
So are you saying,
you want to know what, guys? Each and every one of us tomorrow we could go to work and not have a job. Because is Minnesota is
at will state.
Right.
Yeah,
but it is some other rules that apply more so than, say, New Mexico or the other at-will states.
But at the same point, I mean, is there going to be is Yo's job online after every game this season? Is that what you're saying?
I think he's under the microscope from now until.
I agree.
He either gets canned, he finds another job, which I doubt is going to happen. He's not just going to up and leave. So I think
he's
going to be
a contract, so he really can't.
He's going to be under the microscope till either he gets canned or he gets a cup.
I guess I should say, from a fan perspective, is this too much, too little, too late? Like, was he overreacting because he knows he's on the cusp and trying to prove that he is trying to fight for the team?
Maybe he should be acting like some other coaches we know.
Exactly. Like, maybe that whole slapshot redo that happened Saturday night.
Stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
Where the Calgary Flames now, this totally looked like a slapshot reboot starting up, because within the time it took the puck to drop from the ref's hands, after the starting lines had rotated and one of the defensemen came up to center.
Yeah, they cycled through the centers like
longer,
five times maybe?
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was an insane amount of time that you were just sitting there waiting for them to be able to line up and drop the puck. And as soon as the puck was dropping, gloves were dropping. And not everybody fought right away. There were only, what, two fights?
It wasn't immediately.
It wasn't
a straight line fight. It devolved into that.
Like, everybody tied up, but only two pairs dropped the gloves and were fighting.
Initially.
And then everybody but the goalies were fighting. That's what would have really... Yeah. And Tortorella was pissed and yelling across the bench.
Well, and the reason
Calgary's coach did not address it. Calgary players addressed him.
Well, the reason that Tortorella was so upset was because Calgary's head coach, he started his goon line.
The fourth line to start the game.
That's what I was going to do. He started his goon line, not even his checking line, but his goon line. Ultimately, it was his checking line with some adjustments for the fights. And, of course, Tortorella had to respond by putting in his checking line just because Calgary, being the visiting team, had to submit their line first, and Tortorella has a chance to respond.
And he's like, I don't want to start...
I don't want to start a game like this.
I don't want to start the Sedins and then have them get him mugged. But honestly, you know, if he had started the Sedins,
they're not going to fight.
Right. And the goons aren't going to. Are the goons actually going to try to fight them? I mean, it seems to me that that's old school hockey cop out.
It's the old school Federal League.
But it's not reality. It's Tortorella is like in a different land where, oh, he started his goon line, so I got to do the same thing. I don't buy it. I think it's
now the one thing I'm going to ask.
He's getting too wrapped up in this kind of bogus, you know, chess match that really isn't happening.
Has anyone here been paying attention to what's going on in the Western Division? Have you been paying attention to the Calgary versus Vancouver games?
I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've been looking at it too. So I haven't really been paying enough attention to Vancouver versus Calgary to know what went on in the last couple of games to cause that to be the start. But more telling is that Tortorella was still so pissed at the end of it, he did try and break into Calgary's locker room, which caused him to get a 15-day suspension, amounting to a 6-game suspension. He's basically not allowed to talk to anybody within the organization until the Olympic break starts.
Right, and at that point, it's like, you know...
I will say was a case of too much.
Tortorella's, you know, he had the same similar issues in New York, where his temper is just too much, and this is the first time it's actually really blown up like this. But you know, maybe it's a good thing for Tortorella to learn that.
And this is what you were looking it up earlier while we were having dinner. You said that this is the biggest penalty or suspension to come from a coach or come to a coach is since 79.
No, he was tied for the third,
fourth,
Tied for third, tied for bronze. He was number four. He's the fourth longest suspension.
Sure.
Tied for third.
Coaching wise,
though? Bronze. Yeah, for longest game suspensions for a coach.
All right.
I think he's losing six games. He tied with somebody else. There might have been some discrepancy with the amount of days it was, but game wise.
Sure.
And then above that, it was like 10 and 12 games. Like coaches. I mean, 12 game suspension. I mean, you're looking at almost a month's worth of suspension on there.
Right.
Yeah. That is, yeah, that's definitely at least a month. But it was, I just, that needed to be said because the point, obviously, the extremity of that situation and asking whether Yo was doing too much, too little, too late when he finally started barking at the refs to stand up for the guys.
Well, and then it goes back to, you know, why was Yo barking at the refs? I mean, the refs weren't exactly calling a great game.
No, absolutely not. You know, and.
But his players also were probably not playing the best game either.
You know, and well, with that, I mean, the Wild seem to be on the short end of the stick as far as penalty goes as of late, especially with this Dallas series that we just had.
Right.
You know, we've talked before about them taking high sticks, bad hits with no calls.
I guess our pockets aren't deep enough to pay the refs. Well,
apparently not. I mean, you know, everything from Ben with that clear elbow to Cook's head at the beginning of overtime on Saturday's game, Granlund getting jackhammered repeatedly
by Gonchar.
By Gonchar. You know, and then, you know, we get into Prosser, you know, Mr. Hockey Day Minnesota. As he's giving his interview, you can see the blood coming from his mouth from getting hit in the mouth.
Right.
Tucker, competitive violent. That's why you're here.
So, I mean, you know, Yo's penalty for abusing the refs on Tuesday, was it justifiable? Which, I mean, we kind of talked about. And what does the Wild management need to do to get, you know, the NHL to start looking at some of this stuff?
Well, and not only that, but, you know, so Ben had that headshot on Cook, 0 games suspension.
It wasn't even looked at. He didn't even have a hearing. No hearing at all.
And because it was a defensive maneuver, a defensive hit to the head. When in what planet is a defensive move a hit equal a hit to the head?
None.
If the person's holding a gun. yeah, I mean, if they got a gun to my head, they're holding a gun on me. You know, a hit to the head is, you know, a defensive maneuver at that point.
But I mean,
if I throw a punch, that's going to be considered a defensive maneuver.
But if you look at the replays, I mean, Cook is standing straight up.
Well,
straight up. He's not. It's not like he's crouching down and he gets an elbow.
And they don't let the opposing team have guns.
You know, Cook even said that he was going in for the hit. And notice that Ben would have been in a bad position and held up.
Sure.
And, you know, so he was trying to do the right thing, and he gets knocked in the head for it. No call on the ice. Isn't the NHL trying to cut down on hits to the head right now?
Was that then also incidental, especially with Cook admitting he was coming in and realized that it would have been an unclean hit, and so he put the brakes on and tried to pull away?
So what right does that give Ben to raise
his
elbow at
incidental?
That point?
Right.
Or not. See, and I didn't get to see that one clearly at that point. Like, I happened to look away, and I did not get a clear view of it.
Or
incidental
so
or not,
asking,
a hit to the head is still a hit to the head.
Or is it just the price of playing Cook that any penalties against him are going to be overlooked because it's Matt effing Cook?
Oh, speaking of that, you know, he's got GM Brian Marie and Eugene Ottawa's owner, they literally met up this past week purposely to go over if Cook purposely sliced Erik Karlsson's Achilles tendon from last season.
Yeah, they brought forensic evidence. Call CSI.
He's still getting ousted as a freaking goon, even though he's cleaned his game up a lot
year.
For the last few years.
Yeah.
Like 3 years, I'd say he's actually cleaned his game up. You didn't hear his name with any dirty pool outside of the occasional.
But his reputation precedes him.
He was such a dirty pool player for a while.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
But he definitely had done the work to clean his game up. And he was such an instigator as well, which is part of it. You could always see him, John, and you could always see him taunting people, which. Yeah, everybody noticed that. So everybody didn't notice when he cleaned his game up as much. I remember looking at it going, you know, I think this might be a good thing. It's been long enough and he's relaxed enough and has been cleaning up his game enough that he's coming to the Wild. Good.
And on top of that, you know, he had his wife had like a medical scare last year, and I think that really changed him in his thought of, life and death. You know, all the stuff he was doing on the ice was putting people in real danger. And I think he finally clicked in his mind, you know, going, I can't be doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And admittedly, his reputation is going to precede him regardless. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it's like Bertuzzi. Same.
Very much same.
Same situation.
Oh, yeah.
It still begs the question, though. What does the Wild management need to do? Who's going to start governing the governor of Shanabans?
Well, you know what? This team
also,
this team can't even get a Winter Classic here. What makes you think they can change something as simple as the refereeing league?
You know? Even after being told we were going to get what? I'm so sad. Anyway, also on top of that, what do the Wild really have to say? This also goes back to the whole thing of the press being primarily East Coast hockey wise. Yeah. And unless you're in the East Coast, you're
or
not
Canada.
Getting, or Canada, yeah.
Well, for right now, pretty much unless you're Pittsburgh or Washington, because everybody else East Coast is playing like garbage.
Yeah, all the great stuff's going on in the West, and they know
or
it
New
right
York
now.
New York Rangers.
You guys are talking like you're minorities.
From the one half black, half Russian.
We got nothing on that one.
No, we don't.
Stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
Oh, God. Oh my. I really didn't expect. Yeah. So while we're at it, while we're bagging on Yo, while we're bagging on the management, while we're bagging on bad calls and all that fun stuff, did Yo pull a Yo by overskating since both Backstrom and Harding are out with injury? Did he overskate Kemper in this recent stint of the five games that Kemper played by not skating the backup goalie? Did he overskate Kemper, overwork him to the point where he couldn't have kept up last night?
I would say, I think if we didn't have a Olympic break this year, yes, he probably did. However, the Olympic break is going to reset a lot of things.
Yeah.
Injuries and people that got nagging things that aren't playing on national teams, they're going to get a chance to heal up.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get a little bit of a reset there, and I'm okay with that.
And
I'm very okay with it.
You also got to ask yourself, well, was Kemper the problem? I mean, especially last night. Was he getting any help?
I mean,
really.
He let in a couple of soft goals. The penalty shot was his own doing.
Yeah, the penalty shot he... That,
but no. you can't also blame a guy for trying.
He committed to the deke.
That's what she said.
You wasted it.
Anyway, I really do look at it a little bit, especially having the two minor league affiliate goalies up. I do look at it as he's got to be a little more careful and he's got to rotate him more. He's got to...
Well, Gustafson just went back down now. Hopefully good signs for up and coming.
Who's backup right now then?
Well, I know that Harding's been, he's been practicing. I don't know if he's going to be back soon or...
He's practicing with the team. Backstrom has been...
That does lead us into the injury report then, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, well, here's the other question though with Kemper, the Olympic break coming up, AHL doesn't have that break. They're playing all the way through.
Yeah.
Is he going to be back down? Is he going to be playing full-time? Is he not going to get a break?
Yeah, if he doesn't get reassigned down to AHL, if he's still assigned to the Wild line, he'll get the break.
I'm guessing if he's available, they're going to want him down there in net.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And does
but
he,
if we need him up here afterwards, we're going to want him not.
No, but, right. I mean, but you want him to stay warm, though, too. You don't want him to...
That's the thing. Does he need the break, right?
Right. Well, do you want him sitting around getting cold for 3 weeks?
No, but practice skating, maybe?
Yeah, but we know that's not taking shots, man. I mean,
right.
Not taking real shots.
Even if Harding comes back at this point, that's what you got to look at is he was in his zone before he went out. And he's going to have to come back and regain all that confidence and everything again.
Is he going to be the same guy when he comes back?
Right.
Well, regardless of what happens, is Yo going to just burn out a goalie again?
Yeah, that's ultimately that's my question.
He does. He will, especially
with having a couple of the AHL goalies up. Was he doing that because they're not quite seasoned to the higher pressure of the NHL games?
I think if given the chance, Yo will burn out a goalie because he'll play
the hot hand.
He subscribes to the hot hand fallacy where you just keep on playing the hot guy until he's cold, and then they're cold, and then you play him until he's not.
And unfortunately, what he's been doing with that is actually running him into injury.
Yeah,
but with a young goaltender, that might be a little bit different.
Possibly, but you still have the burnout factor.
And really, what happens if Harding is his medication's got issues and Backstrom's hurt again?
As they adjust his medications, is he going to end up going out again? And Backstrom's injured because he skated Backstrom into the ground again. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, then we got Kemper and Gustafson. Gustafson has never played an NHL game yet.
Remember when the Wild were a goalie farm team and all their goalies moved on to do better things after they left the Wild?
Oh, yeah, they were also a very defensive team, too.
Yeah, then that's
although,
that.
Although, the crazy thing is, I don't think our goalie coach has changed.
No, Bob Mason's been around forever.
Yeah. So, it's the style of play. So, at this point
and
now,
who's getting signed?
Right, I mean, we haven't seen Gustafson. We haven't. And he was the MVP in Sweden where he was playing last.
Yeah.
So it's like
it sounds right.
I mean,
we should have seen him by now.
We should have, but we haven't needed to. So yeah. I mean, I don't think the Wild are that bad off in goal. It's just the matter is we've got a guy that's got MS, and we got a guy who's often injured and hasn't been performing well when he has been healthy. So that's basically causing this whole goalie controversy is.
And defense that has been sporadic when Suter's not on the ice.
Yeah,
we've got
and
a team
Suter
that,
playing 40 minutes a game.
We got a team that can't press offensively, and so we spend 90% of the game in the defensive zone. And any goalie's going to suffer in that.
Well,
yeah, just constant pressure.
Even with that, I mean, just having the puck down in your zone that much, somebody's going to slip up.
Oh yeah,
and an opportunity is going to arise. And yeah, it sucks for the goalie, but.
It's tough to pin that on them.
Although it is also tough, you know, when what did we figure out? 10 penalties?
10 penalties.
So
last night,
we're looking at a third, an entire period.
11.
The penalty
over,
shot.
Over, wow, no, I'm just talking about power play time now.
Oh, okay.
We're looking
I thought when we looked it up, we guessed 10. At 10 and it was 11.
It was 10.
10, right. Because 10. 11 with the penalty shot.
Yep, all right.
So
yeah.
We're looking at 20 minutes. Well, there's a couple of goals scored, so not quite 20 minutes.
And we had fight.
And but that's going to be offsetting majors. So,
so
we're still looking at an entire period of them playing a man short.
Right.
Essentially.
You're going to give up some goals.
Yeah, I think when we figured it out, when we were looking at it as well, there was only one even up goal the whole game. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because you had the penalty shot and you had the two power play
goals. To me, that shows Kemper, he knows what he's doing. Is he playing as well as Harding was at the beginning of the season? Probably not, but I think he's doing way better than he was his first two games played.
I'll definitely give you that. I will say that he should not at all have let that penalty shot go in.
The
he fell
shot,
for that deke that, too
that,
quick and
that
too
easy.
That
was really ugly. That was a Backstrom-like non-save there.
Well, he shouldn't have thrown his paddle at the puck anyways. Or at the skater.
But speaking of Backstrom, actually, he's going to be off the ice for a little while at least. He's got an abdominal strain, same area,
lower body injury.
Lower body. He had another cortisone shot in that same region, second shot of the season, which does not bode well because it's the same spot that in the abdomen, same spot he was injured last year, or during the playoffs.
Is it second shot this season or second shot this year?
Oh.
I thought it might have been this year, means that's two within 22 days, 20 days minimum.
That would be reasonable, actually. I mean, that's when he's been hurt, so because his injury earlier in the season was a concussion. So,
well, yeah, getting bowled over,
right? And then and it looks like Parisi might be coming back here soon. He's skating today. Did a full practice, contact practice. The real interesting thing is that was skating line of Parisi, Coyle, Niederreiter, Granlund, Heatley, Pominville, Brodziak, Cook, Fontaine, and then Ahola, Zucker, and then Vayu or Mitchell line. How do we feel about this? I mean, it's a definite different look than we're used to.
It's a definite, yeah, and it looks like it'll have a definite different feel and style.
I think the top line with Parisi, Coyle, and Niederreiter, Coyle's looking a little bit better at center, but I don't think we still have a. I don't think he's still a top line center.
I mean,
no, true.
Look at the game yesterday. I mean, I think we lost.
We were getting out hit, out face offed, out shot, out scored, out skated, out penalty. We won on penalty.
Dallas
minutes,
won 36 face offs to our 22. We got manhandled on face offs, and Coyle was part of that.
So I think Coyle's a top line skater. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's a top line center.
You know, it could be a case where it's not unlike PMB. You know, he came up, he was a center, and he stunk as a center.
He was an okay skater.
He's an okay skater. Obviously the head injuries kind of hobbled him. But you know, as a skater and as a winger, he was fine, but he just couldn't win faceoffs. And that's kind of central to being a center, is to be able to win some faceoffs here.
So the top line, I'm okay with. I think Nino, Parisi, and Coyle are going to have some good chemistry, and I think if they can get control of the puck, possession of the puck, I think it's going to be a solid line. Possibly get some goals. Second line with Granlund, Healy, Pommaville, Granlund-Pommaville combo. I love that combo. Those guys need to be together all the time. Healy,
What does Healy add to that, though? That's
distraction while he's flopping around on the ice.
Well, and I think that's kind of the bummer of the whole thing, is that Healy, Coyle, and Zucker, it seemed like they were finally getting some chemistry going on.
Yeah, and that Healy was even starting to get some of his old...
Healy was starting... He's been scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, not a bunch.
Sorry. He's been getting points.
He's been getting points.
He's not... Getting back to the stud level he was got him the notoriety he has, but he was doing better than we had been giving him credit for all season from when he was doing horrible, that's for sure.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that line will be okay. It's kind of one of those things where literally Healy is kind of the misfit toy. Where do we put him? And I think it might work out with that line. They've done okay previously. I'm really happy to see Granlund Pommaville together. So then we move on to Brodziak, Cook, Fontaine.
That just seems like a weird line. I mean, Brodziak has just kind of stunk. I mean, if Brodziak was making Heatley money, he'd be just as vilified as Heatley is.
True.
Because he hasn't played very well this year. I mean, defensively or offensively, really. Cook has been all right, and Fontaine's been all right, but I'm pretty sure that line has played together, but I don't know that they've actually...
Well, I mean, that almost kind of seems like your bruiser line.
One thing I'd argue about Brodziak, though, is that he at least has energy and moves quicker than Heatley, and he doesn't flop as much.
Yeah, no, that's true. And he'll get...
He's at least given it the college try.
Right. No, definitely. And I think the... I think the fourth line is actually the most interesting. The potential of a Halla, Zucker, and either Vayu or Mitchell. If it's Halla, Zucker, and Mitchell, that's going to be a speedy line. I don't know if they're going to score anything, but they're going to be fast. They're going to be fast, and there's going to be potential for some breakaways and challenging of the goalies if they end up rolling with that as a fourth line.
Well, I was going to say earlier, the third line with Brodziak, Cook, Fontaine, it almost seems like the bruiser line. You got guys that are more willing to hit and more willing to get physical. With that fourth line, you'd almost want to swap those two around where you've got your bigger line, your checking line on the fourth line, get your speed up on that third line.
Right.
Yeah, it might be nice to have the fourth line be a speed line. But I totally see your point. And really, it doesn't matter which time they're going out on the ice as much as how you look at it insofar as fourth line being checking.
Yeah.
So now we just got to get our defensive pairings back in order again.
Yay!
All right. Hey, did you guys hear that on the Wild's next visit to Dallas, they'll be retiring a few jerseys?
Which jerseys?
The likes of one Mike Modano, a Neil Broughton.
I thought Neil Broughton's was already retired. I thought
Bill Masterton. Right.
And Yeah, Goldsworthy, Masterton, and Broughton were already retired.
In Minnesota.
Actually, Broughton's, I don't know was, if that, no. Broughton's was retired in Dallas. No, he finished his career in Dallas.
Madonna's will be retired, and he'll join Broughton, Goldsworthy, and Masterton.
Yeah.
Right.
Broughton's was retired in Dallas, though, because he was traded around in the 96-97 season. Mm-hmm. He actually played for the Kings, the Devils, and the Stars, all in the 96-97 season.
Do those jerseys belong there? Really?
Well, they...
No.
Well... No, but they do belong with the franchise.
You know, if we're talking about retired numbers...
We got one of the stupidest ones ever.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
What? Which one do we got?
We have retired number one because the fans are number one.
That's...
Boo. You know,
but Seattle Seahawks retire number 12. And they're taking a lot of pride in that this year over in Seattle, I tell you what.
It's not, it is not acceptable.
The fans are the 12th member of the team.
Oh, good God.
Why couldn't they just retire the number 18,001 so Norty's killed or something?
Or just 18,000.
Yeah, especially considering we're regularly
19,000
packing in 19,000 at the X. That's
so. Yeah, I guess now we'll never have a number one goalie.
Right.
you can't rimshot yourself.
Oh God! You know what? You know, I think after that we definitely gotta get it ready for the game of the week.
So last week's game, guess who's the big winner?
Mwah.
I was so close on that, though.
We had the Stars of the Wild. That was the game of the week. That was Saturday?
Hockey Day in Minnesota.
And obviously the Wild won 3-2 in overtime. I picked 3-2, beating everyone. Everyone was close, though. Everyone's really close.
You know, if overtime would have gone for another 3 minutes, I think they could have got that fourth goal and I would have won. Nope.
Jive is the big loser. He's the only one who picked Dallas, so I'm going to go.
Yeah, baby.
I'm gonna just add that. And so with that, that puts me, Jive, and Kenny in a tie for first with 6 points. Josh with 4, so...
We're all a third evil, apparently.
It's a tight race.
It's a tight race, man. With that, I get to pick the game of the week upcoming week, and I'm going to pick Chicago at the Wild. So we'll start with Kenny. What's your pick for Chicago at Wild?
I'm going to go with the Wild winning 2-1. I think it's going to be a one goal game. Chicago is looking pretty tired, or they're going to be pretty tired after playing tonight. I think what was the last I saw the score was 4-4. It's somewhere in the third. Them playing Detroit, so
yeah.
Chicago's gonna come in tired. Wild have had a few days to rest up, but obviously we saw the outcome of the Wild having 3 days off, 2 days off,
and then
the Stars playing and traveling the night before,
right? And that didn't obviously work out very well.
So who knows?
So your pick is 2-1 Wild winning.
I'm going 2-1 Wild winning.
Jive, what are you thinking?
Well, you know me, I can't be a homer like some of you guys. I'm going to have to go with Chicago winning this one. I'm going to be realistic because we aren't scoring many goals, and goaltenders just aren't getting much for help anyway. So I'm going to go with Chicago winning this one 4-1 easily in regulation.
All right. I really got tempted to change mine, but I already entered it in, so I didn't. But
sticking with your choice.
Considering Detroit did take it, Chicago took it to the shootout with Detroit, and Detroit did win 5-0. Chicago is on the road. They are coming into town on a back-to-back after having to play to the shootout last night. My initial thoughts on that, of course, were to say that that would give the Wild a little bit more fresher legs and feeling like they still needed to re-earn their paychecks after last night's game in Dallas. Being home should help them. I'm thinking they're going to go 3-2. Wild winning.
And then I'm going to wrap it up, and I think, as much as I hate to say it, I think the Wild are going to have a tough time. They struggle in Dallas, and they're facing Chicago, and Chicago's top. So
Chicago stay at the races.
Yeah, so I'm going with Chicago winning 3-1. I want to be wrong, so Wild, please make me wrong.
See, that's the beauty of going for the other team. Because even when you don't win,
you win.
You win.
That's called hedging your bets.
Oh, see?
So you can cheer either way.
Is that illegal in Minnesota?
I don't know the gaming laws, and I'm not sure if you're using a legitimate bookie.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have the roller music in the queue to get to the Gophers? Kenny, bring us home with the Gophers.
So both the men's and women's team played their first outdoor game at TCF Stadium this past weekend.
Yeah.
Both won. The men a little bit closer in score, winning 1-0 against Ohio.
Yep.
Ohio State. The women playing Mankato, doing a home and home with Mankato. They up here for that game and then played them Sunday. Handily beat them 4-0.
Right.
So then moving on to Saturday for Hockey Day in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good game for the Gophers men. Beating Ohio State again. 4-2. Sam Warning.
Hat trick.
His first career.
And
collegiate hat trick.
And interestingly enough, his hockey hero, Martin St. Louis, also gets a natural hat trick in the same day.
Nice.
So that's a nice little bit of a connection there for Mr. Warning.
So, yeah, it was a good day. I know they were saying that there's always a hat trick on Hockey Day Minnesota, whether it's high school or one of the games that's televised. And this year it happened to be Sam Warning getting his for the Gophers.
Yeah.
Previously, it's been, you know, high school hat tricks or what have you. You know, you get into some of those windy conditions up north, I mean, anything's quite possible.
Right.
And then the women, Sunday, going down to Mankato, playing in Mankato, another shutout. Two shutouts in a row, this time 5-0. So they are looking back to their old form again.
Awesome.
Well, and did we talk about what they have coming up or no? As far as the Gophers?
We have not.
The ladies have St. Cloud State coming up this weekend, the 24th and the 25th. And that's going to be at Ryder Arena. 7 o'clock times on both games. And that will be on TV Gopher All Access.
And then, we have coming up the North Star College Cup with the Gophers and
Gopher men
with, looks like Mankato, Duluth, St. Cloud.
Oh, yeah, it's all the Minnesota teams. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's happening 24th and 25th.
Yeah.
It's that weird, like, pine cup, I believe. Isn't it like a wooden cup with like the little placards all the way around it?
Oh, that I'm not sure about.
Has some weird like Chinese checkers looking board with different colors for each school. Like
possibly. But yeah, that's all this weekend at that's all this weekend at the Excel Center starting on the 24th.
Huzzah. Awesome. All right. Nothing really to report on the Olympics yet, is there? No. Other than the break starts for the Wild after the February 7th game.
Although, I gotta just point this out here. So over the Olympic break, during the Olympic break, the Wild are officially doing a road trip to watch a road game of the Iowa Wild versus Rockford.
Yeah, which we were hoping to try and have
the
something set up for.
The same game that we were talking about.
Yeah.
They stole our idea.
We were hoping to do that. Unfortunately, I could not find anything that wasn't too cost prohibitive bus-wise.
Right. We'll let them have this idea, but next time
we'll figure out a very questionable form of transportation, maybe. Like rent a panel van and just pack everybody in there.
A budget
rental or a U-Haul. Truck. Yeah. Barbecue in the back of it on the way down. We'll figure something out.
Hopefully there won't be too much asphyxiation.
And over that Olympic break, we're not going anywhere, right?
No. We should be doing some normal podcasts.
We'll be covering the Olympics-ish type stuff.
We have Crashed Ice coming up. Is that
that's too? Right?
That
wait, they
up.
Are doing Crashed Ice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I heard that they weren't doing it here this year, but that was much earlier in the year.
Yep.
Last year.
It's been confirmed that that's the 14th, 15th, or the weekend after.
Yeah, again,
Valentine's
21,
Day weekend.
No, I think it's 21st, 22nd.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I got to say the conditions are right. I just got notified that my son's school is closed again tomorrow.
Yep.
These little kids here, I mean, are we Minnesotan or are we a Minnesotan?
Well, you know, considering how cold it is and everything and that your kid has the day off, you better rest up there so you can keep chasing your kid around the house to make sure they don't destroy everything, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I'm the only one who doesn't have sound effects at my control, and that was like all three of you just, shooting yourself in the foot. I think on that note, we should make sure Drive gets home and gets all sleepy time so that he can chase his kid around the house all day tomorrow. Does that sound good?
You're a big boy. Use your big boy word.
So would you like to say goodnight, Aaron?
Yeah, when I'm not talking with these idiots, I'm live snarking the Wild Games. You can catch us, usually myself and Mr. Kenny, at 3 in the Box on Twitter. And if I'm posting by myself, it's at AaronGNP on Twitter. I rarely do that because it's kind of boring. And with that, I also play in a band. It's called Pinrot. You can go check us out, pinrot.com.
Mr. Jive Midnight.
Yeah, and you guys can follow me. I'm on Twitter as well, at Jive Midnight. You know, you never know. You might get a nice little traffic update or, you know, every once in a while I post a little something that might be informational.
And Kenny.
Yeah, you can reach me, follow me at RottenK999.
Kids, can we stop playing with the noisemakers? Anything else for your good night there, Kenny?
No.
Right, and whoever's got the metronome going, if you can figure out how to shut that off. This is the Meat Beast. You can follow me on Facebook quite often. When I happen to be at a location where my phone is fully charged or my computer, I will update our Facebook event page, fan page, what have you, while these guys are live tweeting, and I'll occasionally dive into our tweets just to mess them up and make them feel silly.
It's all good.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been 3 in the Box, episode 32.
Holla.
Well, that fell apart of that. For all of these, hey, you should really write something down. No, I'll be fine. Yeah, no, all that shit was fine.
I don't know where the fuck the metronome came from.
I blame you because I see you just going like this.
Yeah, you were hitting all, like, your thumb included across the pad trying to get any
You're
noise to come
Stevie
out
Wondering
to mess
it.
With him. No, Stevie Wonder was accurate.
Josh, do we need to take empty cans away from you?
Do we have to take what?
Empty cans away from you.
That wasn't an empty can.
It wasn't an empty can.
No, but it was still.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do we get the theme song anymore?
Well, we just started recording, so.
All right, you guys ready?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go at 30 seconds, all right?
That's what she said.
In 5. Four.
Well done on timing.